Lord God, I pray for my 8 to 10-year-old server. Would you please send them right away?
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder. But others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The words of eternal life.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You may be seated. Happy St. Patrick's Day in advance. Of course, because this is a Sunday, the Feast of the Lord takes precedence over the Feast Day of the Saint. But we can all have our green beer later on. Yes. Amen. So his name is Michael Plowman. He used to get off the bus in front of our house on U.S. Highway 158 in Person County, North Carolina. He was 16 at the time. He would get off the bus and run to our house and say hi to Sandy and me, but mainly so he could see and play with my two oldest children, Caleb and Hannah, who were 4 years and the other two almost three. He had just gotten his braces off, and he had just gotten his learner's permit to drive. Michael Plowman was the kindest of souls. He was very comfortable with who he was in a rural high school in the South. He did not fit in with the stereotype of a boy in a rural high school in the South. He really had no interest in trucks, big ones nonetheless. He had no interest in country music or guns. He was more interested in being a good young man to my children and laughing at their antics. He was a phenomenal babysitter. Phenomenal. Michael was a good Christian. His parents worked in ministry. His sister was very kind as well. Yet Michael was the kind of teen that would befriend the one kid in high school that no one else wanted to hang out with because he wanted to make sure that everyone had a friend. It is what the Lord would want, he would say. No one but Michael and that young man that no one wanted to befriend, know what happened in that shed on that young man's property. What we do know is that a shotgun went off and Michael was killed in an instant. To this day, I remember how brokenhearted we all were. I remember his father, my friend Chuck, my seminary brother, telling me that on the first night after Michael's death, he went outside and begged God to not let the sun come up in the morning so that Michael would not be gone from this world. And we wept in each other's arms. Good grief, I still can't get through it. I remember taking my children to the funeral home to say goodbye to Michael. We walked into the funeral home, and just like Chuck and Cindy or Bob or Annette spoke to me this morning, as I walked into that funeral home, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, "Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead?" That is when I knew that Michael was with the Lord. We would hand him off to the Lord in the funeral the next day, because that's what funerals are for. Funerals aren't for celebrating the life of the person who died. Funerals are for us handing that person off to the care of God. The care of God Almighty, the Father in heaven, who created us in the first place. Yet I had to control my joy on that day because I didn't want to be rude. But I was filled with immeasurable joy, as much as I have tears of missing that young man today, because I knew that as a Christian, death has no hold on us. None. At the wedding of Cana in Galilee, Mary asked her son to do something about the lack of wine at the wedding. What a good mother. Although he turned the water into wine, the best wine, he told his mother, "My hour has not yet come." Remember that. My hour has not yet come. In chapter 7 of the Gospel of John, his brothers urged Jesus to get out of Galilee and go to Judea so that others may see how he is healing the sick and preaching the good news. He says to them, "My hour has not come." This is a theme in the Gospel of John. His hour had not yet come. Yet, in the opening of today's Gospel, when the Greeks show up, to show word of him has spread throughout the world, Jesus knows his time has come. Time for what, we wonder? He says it is time for him to be glorified. But what he means really is that it's time for him to die. That makes no sense to us. Us who hold on to every moment of life on this planet. On the one hand, we love life and we love living life. On the other hand, being a human in this life is like incredibly hard. Yes? I can't hear you. Yes? Yes, thank you. So on the one hand, we have built a huge infrastructure to save life. On the other hand, we have made it uneven so that not all can be healed by our medical industrial complex. We Christians have been responsible for the idea of the hospital. I don't know if you know that. We're the ones who invented this thing to save life. But it is the world that clings to medicine with a horrible fear of death. We, on the other hand, do not fear death. At least, we shouldn't fear death. When the Greeks show up and Jesus says, "His time has come," it reveals that God has a plan for saving all of the people who want it. It will involve Jesus' death as he's told us in this passage and as John has been warning us. The leaders of the Jews at that time are very willing to accommodate Jesus in this. He says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it will not bear fruit. He is the grain of wheat. His death will give life to the world. The Greeks are the signal that his death will not be just for the Jews, but for the saving of the entire world. We also know that this saving of the world has a cosmic dimension. We know because he says, now my soul is troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I came. This is significant because it is a mark of something that I've talked about before. And it's a theological term, and it's called recapitulation. Recapitulation. Now, the word we usually use for this in everyday conversation is, let's do a recap, shall we? But what that really means is, it's a shorthand for this word, recapitulation, a restating. Here, let me restate things. I'm going to recap. In the study of Jesus Christ and his works, recapitulation, the recapitulation, has a specific meaning. It is the restatement of creation by God, but better. If you remember in the Garden of Eden, the one man Adam refused the word of God. The Lord had created all things through the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. When the Lord said in the Garden of Eden, it was through the word that he spoke, word with a capital W. It was through Jesus, the word, the Son, the word that he spoke creation into existence. The Lord said, do not eat of this tree because you will die. And Adam believed the devil instead, who told him that he wouldn't die, but he'd be like God. Yo, dude, you want to know? Eat the tree. Because you'll be like him. Unfortunately, the one man Adam bought the lie, and he brought death into all of humanity from our inability to be pure, holy, sincere, and servants of God. He made us subject to death because of this sin. It is when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us that God re-speaks the Word. He renews the creation through the Word made flesh. Yet when the Word dwells among us up until this moment, the time had not yet come for God to recapitulate, to re-speak the created order as he did in the creation. It is only when the world hears of Jesus that the time had come for Jesus to reverse the curse of the one man Adam. He reverses what Adam did by accepting in his human will the mission that God has given him. The fully God, fully human Jesus is faced with the fact that he must give up his life to save all of humanity, to defeat death, to restore the created order as it was in the Garden of Eden, but better, where we will be with God and he will be with his people and he will wipe every tear from our eye and there will be no more death and no more dying. Yet in his human will, Jesus is troubled. Who here would not be troubled if God said, I want you to die for me. I want you to die for me. I keep my head down. And I'd say, sorry, I didn't hear what you said. And he would say, I want you to die for me. And I'd look at him and go, let's see, what time is it? I think I heard you wrong. Did you say that you want me to die? No, thank you, Lord. I think you have the wrong person. That's not on my agenda for today. Sorry. And St. Luke tells us that in this moment, when Jesus has to accept the fact that he is going to die, he is so traumatized that his body sweats blood. It is a medical condition called hematidrosis. And hematidrosis is where stress is so great that a person actually sweats blood. So when we casually say, Yeah, you know, Jesus accepted God's will, that, you know, for saving for the mission of saving the world, like we're going to a beach on a sunny day, then we don't get it. We really don't fully understand. It was hard. But he said yes. It is this yes that changed the universe. It is this yes that recapitulated through the Word, the recreation of the world that is happening as we are standing here and will consummate when Jesus comes again. It is the yes that goes to hang in the crucifixion to pay for all sins, yours and mine, so to let you know that God isn't looking at you going, bad, 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 bad. No, he's looking at you going, love, 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 love. Now that the wage of sin has been paid in full by Jesus Christ, he is able to walk from the tomb, leave it empty, and show the world, and show us, that through the one man Adam comes death, and through the one man Jesus Christ comes resurrection and life. And in this moment, it is in this moment that God will be glorified, which will lead us to be able to say, oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? If we are in our right minds, that is, minds transformed by the reality in Jesus Christ, we would greet death with this understanding. The Holy Spirit can come to us and say about the loved ones that we have lost, why do you look for the living amongst the dead? And we will be like the Thessalonians. St. Paul says to them, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are dead, so you may not grieve as others do, without hope. Do not grieve without hope. We have hope, brothers and sisters, because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, Jesus' blood, our righteousness. We do not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. When the wages of sin are paid, death no longer has a hold on us who live in the world. We live in this world, but our mind, our attitudes, our actions are determined by the world not yet, the heavenly realm. We know that our life here is a passing shadow. We know that we are all but grass and we wither and fade. We also know all meaning of life is now recapitulated through this yes. Because not only is Jesus saying yes to God, he's saying yes to you. All reality of life is recapitulated through this yes for those who love the Lord. We have been baptized into this recapitulation of the universe. So although my heart breaks, and you saw it earlier, I can hardly keep the tears back from missing this young man who was so beautiful, so glorious, so wonderful, so loving, so Christian, so serving. I do not look for Michael among the dead. I don't look for him among the dead because he is alive, my friends. He is in paradise with the angels, singing, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is Michael who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So when I think of him, this young man that I loved and I love to this day so much, I'm so happy for him that I'm almost jealous. No pain, no rejection. No being told he's awful, no being discriminated against, nobody at the job backstabbing him, nobody killing his career, nobody killing his opportunities, nobody injuring the purity of that soul. I am almost jealous that he gets to be with God. And I'm stuck here with all of you. No. Actually, I love it. And vice versa. Thank you. That's right. You stuck here with me. Exactly. Thank you, Chuck. Michael's where there's no more crying, no more pain. You said amen. You can say it louder. No more mean bullies in the high school to call him names. or make fun of his love for my babies. Right? Teenage boy, rural South, loving babies. Nope. He is where that glorious smile of his and fun, winsome spirit of his can be with the author of love, God the Father. How do I know? I know because the hour has come for God to be glorified through his plan for all of the world, that he is recapitulating the created order so that those who believe in him, are baptized into him, will live with him while living in this world. All things are made new. Woo-hoo! Even death, which now has no victory and should have no sting. Bye, Felicia, to death. May God bless the preaching of the gospel in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Y'all bet you didn't think you'd get a bye Felicia today, did you?